This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. Today we're discussing streaming services. Are there pros and cons to censoring a streaming service? I know the Evening Edition last night spoke about whether or not we need to censor streaming services. We thought we'd have a similar discussion today. WhatsApp, we've got some responses there. Over to Arv.
This comes from Steve, who says, no point in censorship and we are living in the internet age. Just a waste of time and let people watch what they want. You guys are not guardians of the galaxy, for God's sake. Then we have one from numbers 1431. I would like to recommend an episode of Today Explained podcast called Streaming War, and that episode is published on November 8th. It discusses this whole thing around which streaming service will win in the war.
There we go. What was it called again, the episode?
Today Explained.
Today Explained. Mm-hmm. Ords, we have another story to get through, don't we?
Yes, you know, we've been talking so much about all this, about streaming services and shows, and, you know, I have a toddler at home and all I get to watch on TV is Peppa Pig.
Oh!
So I thought we'd take a break from that and let's talk about a startup and leadership and, you know, managerial skills.
Okay,
about that?
We can do that.
So you know the saying, right? Disgruntled employees leave bad managers, not bad jobs. It's always the people, not the job itself. And when you combine a tight labor market as it is today and scores of bad managers that we've heard about, of course, the horror stories, venture investors have started to see dollar signs in this area. $8 million to be exact. Why $8 million? Well, that is the amount of Series A funding that a startup called Cultivate just managed to rake in. Cultivate is a management training startup, and why management training is now in the spotlight is because it has been a big business for a long time. But in the Silicon Valley, venture capitalists earmark thousands of dollars every year for the founders of their portfolio companies to undergo these management training programs. But the results have always been mixed. The programs are usually outdated. They are largely reactive. And it's a bit of a turnoff for the younger startup employees, as you would imagine. And it's important to target these young ones because as younger employees come into managerial roles, VCs have noticed that they are more eager to learn. They have been seeking out tools in their own time to bridge the gap between what they need and what kind of training the company may provide. So why VCs are excited about Cultivate and why $8 million so quickly? Well, it's because Cultivate are different from your day-long trainings and one-on-one coaching training programs. It's actually very passive. There's an opt-in software that accesses your manager's Gmail, your Outlook, your Slack, and other team productivity tools, and provides regular feedback to the user on how they communicate with their team. So what you do then with the feedback is ultimately up to you as the manager, because the company leadership doesn't have access to the information about the managers using the tool, and it doesn't provide recommendations based on the data it analyzes. So what does it give you? I mean, basically, it's a program that doesn't judge you on the way you communicate. So it's not a judgment of how you should interact with people. It doesn't say how a manager should communicate with their team members. It just provides you with the data on how you communicate. And that could be valuable. So it's up to you on what you want to do with this data moving forward. You can easily choose to dismiss the notifications on feedback. And it's all about how much you want or are willing to improve. And this is a model that apparently seems to be working with millennials. Millennials have never been trained to be leaders or managers, let alone how to be an effective manager for a distributed team, which we seem to be seeing with most startups in the Silicon Valley. And this is the generation that thrives on learning. They need it to grow and remain interested and engaged in their roles. So this is the perfect tool, or at least VCs are saying that this is the perfect tool to help them with their managerial skills without the judgment or evaluation involved in the process.
So it's more like they, I wouldn't say undercut, but it's more like they bypass the traditional HR way of evaluating their staff so that they get like real-time evaluations on the fly, which also means that they don't have to wait for their yearly benchmarks and you know, the 6 months and then the 12 months and stuff. Which is, I think we've spoken about this a bunch of times as well, is like, you know, the more in real-time people get their feedback, the quicker they can change and then make corrections.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're doing something for, let's say, 6 months or a year, and then someone tells you to make changes, then you have to like retweak yourself all over again. But if you get something at the end of, let's say, a week, then the following week you get to change your whole way of doing things, your whole concept.
I mean, those 6 months that you're waiting for that feedback or whatever, by that point you've already formed a habit, you know, possibly. And so it takes, like you say, Arv, it takes a little while to kind of undo what you've learned. If you think you've been doing okay, until somebody says, well, actually, you know, that thing you've been doing for the past 6, 7, 8 months is not right.
There's also recency bias, and, you know, people always find a way to, well, game. They'll find a way to game the evaluation process, right? So the thing with this is, like, actually, recently I spoke to the CEO of Engage Rocket, and they are basically what the CEO likes to call a Fitbit for HR. They tell you, they give you real-time feedback on what your team members are saying about you and things like that. So, but that is basically on how to provide real-time feedback to team members and your manager and the people that work on a project with you. But in this case, I guess, the real-time feedback on, you're about to send an email, and if in it actually, like, just like how your Gmail now completes your sentence for you, it will tell you, like, hey, maybe say this instead of that. You know, so it will give, it can give you recommendations like that, but it doesn't tell you, like, no, this is not how you're supposed to do it. By doing this, you're sounding negative, or by doing this, you seem biased. It's not judging you on the way you communicate, but it's actually giving you recommendations on how to improve. And this is happening on the fly. If you're too busy, you can just X the notification. But if you really want to improve and this is something that's important to you, you can always take the feedback.
I like it.
Yeah, and also it has to tie in with the, you know, the manager systems and stuff, so that everybody's on the same page, I guess.
Speaking of feedback and related to the topic we've been discussing today, we've had a tweet.
Yeah, so this comes from Ramli Sirab, who says, let's talk about the elephant in the room. BFM censors too. There is and always will be a need for censorship. Ratings like PG-15, R and etc. are a great way for setting a common standard as to sex and violence. So maybe we need a racial / religious rating. May offend.
I think there's a slight difference, though. For stuff that you pay to go and see, you have chosen to go and see something that hopefully is uncensored. Something like BFM, which is an unpaid service, are bound by rules governed to us by the Malaysian Communication and Multimedia Content Code. There are certain things we cannot talk about in a particular way because it will affect our license. It's not that we don't want to talk about these things, it's that we are limited to how we can talk about these things.
Which is a whole other issue about censorship.
That's an entirely different kind of insipid censorship, shall we say. Would that be the right word? Right. More.
There is some more feedback from Kavin, who says, we need to look back at the history of Napster Music Service in the year 2001, right after the service banned and discontinued due to a court order. It sparks a whole new piracy revolution, and the whole music industry suffered miserably.
It did, because Metallica complained about it so much that they released their album shortly afterwards. Right. Anyway, we should wrap up, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for all of your feedback. If you miss any part of this show and you want to listen back to it, you can, of course, wherever you would get your podcast from. We're available on all the streaming services and, of course, even on Spotify as well. We started off with that story, of course, about whether or not there are pros and cons to censoring a streaming service. Lots of opinions about that. Moved on to...
Then we spoke about how the streaming tsunami will change how we make and consume content.
And of course, we closed the show about that story on Cultivate, the startup that thinks it can fix broken corporate culture by providing leaders with real-time feedback.
Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay in conjunction with World Toilet Day. The Breakfast Grill spoke with Dato CC Nyai, the CEO of Furuni Ceramici, one of Malaysia's leading tile players, on the Breakfast Grill. Going against a convention, Furuni focused on design and helping the customer to understand their needs. They spoke to Furuni about the industry landscape and its plans for the future. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.